All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
I was born with my papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. I feel alright. I feel alright tonight.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hello, everybody. We are live. Yes, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude. 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. We will, of course, not be on Friday morning because that is Christmas morning. But we will be back tomorrow for our special Christmas Eve program. And, Rick Geezer is going to join us. Rick Geezer is the guy who has that great collection of sports songs. Those were songs that were recorded by athletes and coaches and managers on the pro level and in the college level, any sport, all kinds of cool stuff. He's been having that collection for many, many years. He joins us a bunch of times a year, but we always have the annual Christmas sports song special. And we will have that tomorrow morning, and you will hear great Christmas songs done by sports-related people, including, in its entirety, Honky the Christmas Goose, which is perhaps the finest Christmas song ever recorded. So that'll be our special Christmas show. We'll also talk about great Christmas movies, our favorites. We'll hear some clips from those and just talk Christmas stuff in general on our special Christmas Eve morning show tomorrow. Well, this morning tonight here on Wednesday morning. Yeah, White Snake Wednesday, man. Yeah. No, it's Wham Wednesday. That's right. It's Wham Wednesday because Dan took off because Shagru took off because he doesn't like Wham. Yeah. See?
It's the only reason. He's just like, nope, I don't want to be here.
That's right. It has nothing to do with Christmas or his new baby or anything like that. It has everything to do with Wham. Thank you, Dan Long, DJ Long. It's a song rules, man.
Does. That's I don't care what anybody says. That's a great sax
it's a
hook.
Absolutely. That whole song rules. Well, you know how I feel about Wham. It's Wham Wednesday. Yes. But also, it's Tom Appel Wednesday. He's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes here. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. And if you have any and every automotive question, if you're looking to get a car, lease a car, you got any car-related question of any kind, Tom is here to help you out. He joins us once a month, and he is here live, and we're going to go to him in just a minute. But if you want to call in, 312-981-7200. Tom can answer any and all car and automotive-related questions, 312-981-7200. You can also text your car question to 312-981-7200, and we'll have Tom jump in here in a couple of seconds. We're going to talk about weird Christmas albums, the strangest and weirdest Christmas albums of all time. We'll do that a little bit later. We will also do more origins to holiday treats, which we've been doing all week long. But let us officially say hello to Dan Long, who is producing for Dan Shagru. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
We have an unfortunate Blackhawks Express to play.
Yeah, it was. I put it together, and it was ugly.
Brutal, man. Brutal. That'll be in the 4:45-ish break, right before we go to Orion this morning. We will hear the unfortunate recap of last night's horrendous Hawks game. Man, the Stars are good. They are a good hockey squadron. Yeah. Boy, I'm not looking forward to the playoffs if they're in the first round. That's all I'm saying. Hey, let's go to the newsroom. Esmeralda Leon.
Hi.
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 How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any weird Christmas albums?
I don't.
No? You remember any weird Christmas songs? Because there are a few classics that I think are weird.
The only one I can think of right now is, and it's more like, oh, that's a thing, is the Monkees did a song. It's called Ryuchiu. And I think it's in Portuguese or something.
Uh-huh.
But it's such a serious song, and it's like, what?
And it's the Monkees?
Yeah, and they're doing this like a cappella thing almost.
How do I not know this song? I bet if I heard it, I'd know it, right?
Probably. It's all in Portuguese. So then they're singing in Portuguese.
The
then
Monkees
it's the Monkees,
are.
Yeah. It's on their Christmas special.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, maybe we can dig that one up. All right. Well, we have weird Christmas albums, including one by William Hung from American Idol. And I think it's called Hung for Christmas. Yeah. That's something you might want to do to yourself after you listen to the album. That would be my guess. So, anyway, Esmeralda's here, and we're here all morning. And but let's get to our man, Tom Appel. Tom Appel is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He joins us every month to talk cars. Any and all automotive and car-related questions will be fielded. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And let's say hello to Tom Appel. Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. Season's greetings, my friend.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you as well. Give everybody just, again, a little background about Consumer Guide Automotive, in case they haven't heard you on the show all these low years.
Well, I'd love to. Thank you. Yeah, we've been around since 1967. We were famous for many decades for our monthly automotive review guides, and those faded away in the aughts, like so many print publications. But that was fine because we had moved online. But we review every car every year, or we do everything we can to do so. And you can find us at consumerguide.com, where we have new car reviews, used car reviews, and our blog, the CG Daily Drive blog. We try to have some fun and expand on that stuff.
Yeah, we'll get to some of the things that you wrote for the CG Drive Daily blog, which we'll get to in a little bit. But before that, we want to talk cars and some of the car stories that are making the rounds right now and answer some of the questions that our listeners might have, both talk and text at 312-981-7200. So, Tom, the VW story continues as we knew it would.
Yeah.
The latest chapter, tell us about the latest chapter in the VW story, and maybe a quick update on, you know, background on what happened, in case people, you know, had forgotten about this, the biggest story ever in the car world.
Yeah, this is an incredible story, and the long and short of it is this. Volkswagen seemingly did the impossible several years ago when they produced diesel vehicles that didn't require the AdBlue after treatment system, and everyone was baffled as to how they do it. A lot of people don't know that when you buy a diesel now, you have to add some fluid that is actually sprayed in the exhaust as it leaves the car to remove oxides of nitrogen from the emissions. And Volkswagen found a way around that, or seemingly found a way around that. And a lot of their smaller cars with the 2-liter diesel engine in the U.S. didn't need the system. It turns out it did. Volkswagen had cheated on the emissions and actually defeated what they call a defeat piece of software that would make the car run as if it was being tested for the emissions testing, and thus faking out regulators and leading them to believe that the car was compliant when it wasn't. They have since fessed up, but that leaves 500,000 Americans, 8 million Germans in the lurch with cars that are not compliant with their local regulations. Since that time, in the news now, is that Volkswagen has set up an independent panel that will handle claims and complaints against Volkswagen, but they still don't have a solution. So I'm not really entirely sure what's being handled at this point, but they are collecting names and working on a system to compensate current owners. But at this point, since we don't know what the problem is, compensation seems a little ahead of the game.
They did have a plan, though, in terms of compensation, initially when this first happened. Didn't they announce something about compensation?
Yeah, there was a little gift card package they were putting together for consumers. One was a $500 gift card, and with it, a $500 gift card good at your dealership. And that you had to go to your dealership apply online, and then you had to go to your dealership. It was a little complicated. But a lot of people are suggesting that if you do this, you may be giving up your right to pursue further action against Volkswagen.
Well, they hired Ken Feinberg.
Yes.
To run it. Tell us about Ken Feinberg.
This guy is interesting. He has handled reparations funds for the 9/11 survivors, for the BP deep oil crisis, and additionally for the GM ignition switch crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this guy's clearly independent and clearly the kind of guy that can handle a fund like this. But at this point, what's going to happen with that fund is unclear because we still don't know to what extent these vehicles are diminished in value and what needs to be done to them.
Hey, what's the buzz? What is ultimately, are people kind of speculating at what's going to happen in the long run to VW here?
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation because a huge amount of money is going to be used up. They had put aside about $8 billion. They had just recently acquired bridge loans of about $22 billion, which means they now have a kitty of $30 billion to pay for all this.
Oh, man.
And yeah, it's a huge amount of money. And there's speculation that they might still need more money. So one of the things that I believe could happen, Volkswagen is a massive company, and I don't know that all Americans know how big Volkswagen is, but in addition to Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche, Bentley, and Bugatti, Porsche also owns German truck manufacturer MAN and Scania. These are huge companies that we don't hear much about in the U.S., but either of those is probably available to sale for sale to raise additional cash, and I think that's something we're probably going to see happen.
Unbelievable. I mean, this story just is not going to stop. I mean, how long do you think this is going to continue, Tom?
I think we're going to be hearing about it through all of next year because we still don't know what the fix is. And even when they develop a fix, it may be very complicated. It looks like the smaller group of victims, and that's the ones with the V6, larger V6 engines, that might be a software fix. That is not going to be the case for the bulk of Volkswagen owners, however.
Unbelievable. All right, Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. He joins us every month. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and he will try to help you and answer any and all of your automotive and car-related questions.
Dana, Blitzen, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen!
Yeah. This is a jam right here. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Christmas Eve Eve. Yeah. Esmeralda's rocking to this one. You like this one, huh?
Yeah, I need a tropical drink.
This is...
And a beach.
This is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Mambo by Billy May.
I like it.
Yeah. Christmas cocktails from the Ultra Lounge collection. Yeah, man.
How much happier would people be if this just played down Michigan Avenue? Especially in this weather.
I was going to say, considering tomorrow is going to be 60.
Close your eyes real nice and tight. Santa comes tonight.
Yeah. That's actually one of my favorites, too, on the Ultra Lounge collection. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Tom Appel is with us. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He is here to help you out with your car and automotive questions. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you. And that's some quality Rudolph. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Billy May. Wasn't the guy who passed away who did the cleaning product commercials, wasn't his name Billy? Was it Billy Mays, right?
Billy Mays, yeah.
Yeah, Billy Mays. He was the guy who was like, hey, quick and bright, or whatever his product was, yeah.
OxyClean.
OxyClean, right, it was OxyClean. How can I forget that? Didn't he also, and on that episode of South Park, wasn't there Chipotle off?
Chipotle away.
Because it cleans the blood out of your underwear. That's why, according to South Park. I love South Park. Hi, Tom.
How are you?
How are you? There's a nice lead-in for you, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
All right. We've got some people who have some questions for you, Tom.
Great.
All right. Here's Jim on WGN. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
All right.
I got a question for Tom. I'm thinking about getting a buying anywhere from like a 2013 to a new Dodge Journey. I've never had one. I was just wondering if he's tested one or driven one, if he knows anything about, you know, if they're reliable or not.
All right, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, the Dodge Journey, during the years you're discussing, generally made our best buy list every single year. And it's a great vehicle in terms of packaging. It's a nice size. It's got good interior space. And it's also one of the smallest, least expensive vehicles with three rows of seats. My single recommendation, if you were to look at one, is to try to find one with the V6. The four-cylinder is a little cranky and not quite up to the job.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was looking for, the V6 with the all-wheel drive energy stuff.
Okay, Tom?
Yeah, nice car.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll get some texts coming in, too, and some phone calls. Here's Carrie on WGN. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hey, morning, Nick. Morning, Tom.
Hey.
I call in every 6 months or so for an update. I would be in the market for a new midsize pickup truck. I know that the Toyota Tacoma just got rave reviews. I heard Dodge is maybe hinting that they're going to do something, and I was wondering if Ford plans on anything and what the overall market is for new midsize pickups.
Yeah, that's a crazy market in that it's after years of stagnation and no activity, it's back. As you probably know, that Chevy, GMC, and Ford bailed on the market a couple of years ago. But since then, Chevy and GMC have come back with a vengeance. So the new Colorado from Chevy and the Canyon from GMC are on the market. They're fantastic. They're 2016 Consumer Guide Best Buys. And as you noted, the Toyota Tacoma has been updated as well. Very nice vehicle. Didn't get larger, however, and it's still a little bit trucky. And it's the reason we don't have it as a Best Buy. But if you're looking for a truck with off-road capability and is more of a traditional truck, the Tacoma is a great way to go. If you're looking for something a little bit more family-friendly, I recommend the Chevy or the GMC, but there's a lot going on there. Ford is bringing back the Ranger for 2019. Honda's going to be showing us the Ridgeline at this auto show cycle coming up. So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
And is Dodge, I heard a rumor Dodge was going to do something like a revamp Dakota. Is that true, or...?
If Dodge does something, it'll be Fiat-based and a little bit smaller and lighter duty than the other vehicles we're discussing. Okay. I don't know a lot about that.
Hmm. Okay.
All right, Kerry, thanks,
well,
buddy.
I look forward.
All right, take care. See you. 312-981-7200. You're talking about trucks. You know, these Chevy truck commercials. Boy, Chevy is really buying a lot of time on television with these Chevy truck commercials where, you know, they're throwing phones into wood chippers and,
yeah.
And then, you know, like, hey, put the award next to what vehicle you think won the award. Is Chevy doing well with the truck reboot?
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, and it's interesting that a lot of these ads are for all three of their pickups: the midsize car, the Colorado, the light duty 1500, and then the heavy duties as well. They've got that one where all three won some major award,
right?
To the amazement of people in a focus group,
right. To the amazement of that one guy who's like, "Oh, Ford." There's that one guy who's like, well, it's got to be Ford, of course.
It's got to be Ford.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what? Before we break here for the news and come back and talk more news stories and take your phone calls, what are you driving currently? I always like to ask because you drive a different car all the time. What are you currently testing?
I am driving a car I really am happy with. I'm driving the 2016 Volvo V60 wagon. This is Volvo's midsize wagon, and then the one I've got's all-wheel drive, and it is a delightful car. It's a little bit smaller than most midsize vehicles, very high-endy inside, but it is surprisingly fun to drive. It's quick, it handles well, and Volvo is famous for its comfortable seats, and that holds true here.
Wow. Now, what's the look on this? Because whenever you say Volvo, even to this day, I think boxy.
Yeah, and there's somehow they made it. They really updated that sort of boxy look. There's still a great boxy grid look to the grill, and there's still strong lines, but it's actually very curvy and very aerodynamic looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the modern Volvo look is pretty good.
What else have you driven recently that you really liked?
That I really liked. You know, a car that just sticks with me, again, is the Honda Pilot. That's Honda's midsize crossover, and it is just so good. After a generation where they sort of fell off the map a little bit, they've come back with a vengeance. This is a roomy, fuel-efficient, relatively powerful, really good-looking inside car, and I just
really a big fan.
Okay. All right. And again, you can check this all out at Consumer Guide Automotive, consumerguide.com, consumerguide.com. Tom Appel is with us. And if you have a car or an automotive-related question, you can talk or text us at 312-981-7200. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us. His monthly visit continues. We've got more car-related news stories and your calls coming up right here. Nick DiGilio Show here on 720 WGN.
In the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Yeah, or walking in a spring wonderland.
Is the bluebird here to stay?
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Here till 5 a.m., the Steve Cochran program begins at 5. Dan Long producing this morning, and Esmeralda Leon, as usual, in the newsroom. And right now, Tom Appel is with us. Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. We'll talk about some of those things. And take your phone calls with your car and automotive questions at 312-981-7200. Talk and text. And we welcome Tom back to the show. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, I saw that there's an article where they had achieved a record average cars. The U.S. vehicles achieved a record average of like 24.3 miles per gallon.
Yes.
Is that better than usual? And how often do they do the miles per gallon average?
That is annual, and it's usually announced sometime about the time we wrap up the following model year. So for 2014, the U.S. fleet averaged 24.3 mpg, and what that means, that's actually an average of all the vehicles that were sold, and that is the combined EPA number for those vehicles. It does not take into account miles driven, but just the volume of vehicles in those classes. So what that means, that's actually up slightly from the year before, and we've been going up slightly for a number of years now, but there's some concern that for 2015 we may not be up at all or might even be down slightly, and we can blame cheap gas for that. This has been a boon in the sale of big pickups and larger crossovers. Mm.
And what cars, it just says vehicles, but what vehicles are included in this? Is it just cars and trucks?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually all cars and light-duty pickups up until there's actually a GVWR, gross vehicle weight rating, of 8,500 pounds. So vehicles with that combined rating below that number, and that's the ones you mostly see on the road, Chevy Silverados, Ford F-150s, cars like that, that aren't of the 25 or 3,500 series, of the three-quarter or one-ton series. And that's most of the pickup trucks sold. Mm. So those are included in those numbers.
I'm looking here, and it says that in 10 years, they expect the average fleet-wide average to be 54.5 miles per gallon in 10 years. Does that sound doable?
That's a little bit misleading. The 54.5 is the edict that the government came to, and that's something that the car manufacturers are struggling to do right now. However, 54.5 is based on the old CAFE numbers. Twice in the history of the EPA, they have adjusted down the ratings, once in 78 and once, I think it was in 2004, and both times those numbers came down by like 15%. And what that means is the numbers we see on window stickers now are much lower than they used to be, and they're a little bit more realistic. That 54.5 is based on the old number. It's calculated different. Mm-hmm. The actual number manufacturers have to hit is something like 38.5 if we compare it to the window sticker numbers that we see now.
Oh, I see.
So that's what they have to do by 2025.
Oh, I see. That is misleading, my friend.
It is, yeah, but that's the old CAFE, corporate average fuel economy number.
I see. And
that used to be sort of an EPA buzzword. We don't hear it much anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to the phones, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Here's Dan on WGN. Hey, Dan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm looking at an 09 Toyota Camry Hybrid. I was a pretty good backyard mechanic back in the day. I'm kind of leery about, new technology. The batteries are new. Just your general thoughts on a hybrid kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm a relatively big fan of hybrid technology, and I'm an especially big fan of Toyota hybrid technology. And any fear you have of buying a Camry hybrid should be assuaged by the fact that virtually every cab in Chicago right now is a Camry hybrid, and they seem to be incredibly durable, and cabbies love them. I've actually spoken to cabbies about these, and they get tremendous mileage with them, and they seem to hold up. So I think that if they're doing service in the city and making that work, they'll probably do fine for you.
Okay, so it's a good deal. And anything special about the 09s, Tom?
No, nothing special about those. They work just fine. If you are comfortable with the way a hybrid drives, you're going to like a Camry just fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dan. You mentioned cabs. Taxis. What have been the most popular brands of cars and types of cars that cabbies have driven over the years that cab companies have had?
You know, after the Checker Marathon went away, and that was a sad day, everyone was using those. We used to see a lot of domestic big cars, so we used to see a lot of Impalas and a lot of big Plymouths over the years. But when that faded, the big one was the Crown Victoria for a lot of years, and Ford stopped building that. So what's left now is really sort of a melange of cars are being used, and cabbies love the hybrids just for the fuel economy, especially when gas was really expensive. But right now, you see all sorts of weird things, including old Scion XBs, a kind of boxy Scion. You see that a lot in the suburbs, a lot of mid-sized cars. And, you're still seeing the Crown Victorias, but those aren't legal in some cities anymore because they're getting too old.
Well, what does that mean? They're not legal because of what they how they drive or what they spit out in terms of poisons and stuff like that.
Yeah, not so much that, but in Chicago and a number of other cities, they have limits on the total mileage a car can have when it becomes a cab and how old it is, and the Crown Victorias are just aging out.
I see. Oh no, that makes sense. I mean, if a car is 25 years old, it's going to break down. You know. Car's got 150,000 miles on it. Is there a number of miles that a car has to have on it? Like, is the odometer? Do you have to hit a certain point on the odometer and then retire the car if you're a cab?
Yeah, I think it's 300,000 miles.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that doesn't seem too crazy because that's all those cars do.
Right. Yeah, they'll hit it pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go back to the phones here. And if you got a text or a call, 312-981-7200, we'll take your text and your calls as well. And here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, what's up,
buddy?
Hey, man, I love you, obviously. You've been petty, are like the rock stars of this channel. Okay, playing it simple.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so I have an 87 Monte Carlo SS Aero Coupe that I have been told has only had 5,600 of them made. But, of course, the Battle Axe wants it sold. Blah, blah, blah. Should I keep this thing or should I sell it?
All right. The Battle Axe wants to get rid of it. So maybe Tom should... first, Patrick, I think, should hire a lawyer. Secondly, what about the 87 Monte Carlo SS?
Well, SS, and then he said Aeroback.
He did, yes.
Yeah, which is a very interesting car. The Monte Carlo SS, I think most of us can picture. It was usually black, but a lot of them were white, and there was also maroon was a popular color. But this was a Monte Carlo that was seriously sported up, got a little extra power, got specific wheels and tires and a sports suspension, and was not a slouch in its day. The Aeroback, though, is really interesting in that it has a hatchback-like glass canopy over the back as opposed to the notchback glass. The reason for this was for NASCAR racing. It was much more aerodynamic and much more stable at speed. So they made something like 5,000 of these. They're rare, they're collectible, they're very interesting, and they're kind of cool looking. There was a Grand Prix that had a similar glass treatment the same years. Those are even more rare. I would only give that up if you got a good price, but I think it's a fantastic thing to have in the garage, and I'd hold on to it.
Hang on to it, Patrick. Don't care what the Battle Axe says. Tom, speaking of 1987, thank you, Patrick, for the call. This is a nice segue into one of the pieces that you wrote for the Daily Drive blog. The five most expensive American cars from 1987.
Yes.
What about 1987? What made 1987 sort of a special year, especially for American cars?
there is a factor in here that completely skews things. General Motors got kind of bold and brassy back in the 80s and decided that they could take on the finest from Europe. So in 1987, the single most expensive car was the Cadillac Elante, which was a vehicle designed to take on the Mercedes-Benz 450 SEL, the roadster I think we all think about when we think of Mercedes-Benz. So in a year when pricey American luxury cars are going for about 25-ish grand, the Elante came down with a $55,000 price tag, which was just, it was absurd to so many people.
Wow. That, yeah, 55 grand, huh?
Yeah, and the Elante was a fascinating car. It was designed by Pininfarina. They did the body stampings in Italy. They flew them to the U.S. over what they called their air bridge. They were assembled in the U.S., but ultimately the car was still front drive and had some fairly common General Motors pieces to it, and it was just a huge, huge sales flop.
I love the most expensive option is the dealer-installed cellular telephone. and the next one here is the Cadillac Fleetwood 60 Special for $35,300.
Yeah, that was another disappointing car. Cadillac had just downsized its big cars. And if you look at the picture of this vehicle, it kind of looks like a big greenhouse on wheels. There's not a lot of overhang in the front and back, and there's nothing about it that says traditional luxury car.
But I also love the most expensive option here, Tom. This is just amazing. Is the cellular telephone, which runs just at $2,800.
Approaching 10% the price of the car.
Isn't that unbelievable? 1987, man. It seems like a 100 years ago.
Yeah, they had no idea that the 1 cent Nokia phone was coming.
How about the Chevrolet Corvette Roadster for $33,600?
Yeah, finally something that represents value in the day. Yeah, the Corvette was newly downsized for 84, and it was doing pretty well. And the convertible version came around a year later, and that's just a hot car. At the time, it was a strong value. Now these are kind of collectible.
Okay, and their expensive option, most expensive option, was, of course, the leather sports seats for a little over $1,000.
Yeah, and those are contoured. Those are pretty cool. Those had, like, side bolsters to them, and they looked great.
Okay, how about the Lincoln Town Car Cartier Edition?
Yeah, the Cartier now.
Yeah,
that was about $2,000 more than the, I think it was called the Signature. But yeah, that's still $28,000.
That's crazy. Leather seating only cost almost $500, but the most expensive option is, of course, the power glass moonroof for $1,300.
That's a bunch of money then for a moonroof. I'm not really sure why that's that expensive.
That's crazy money for a moonroof, don't you think, Tom?
That's what they cost now.
The Lincoln Mark 7 LSC.
Yeah, this is a cool car. A lot of enthusiasts latched onto this car. The Mark 7 was sort of the hot rod of the group. It had great lines, and it borrowed the high-output V8 from the Ford Mustang. It was essentially that 5-liter engine, about 225 horsepower. Really cool turbine wheels. This is the keeper of the bunch, in my opinion.
Okay. All right, and of course, you still have that that option for the power glass moonroof at $1,300.
Yeah, Lincoln was crazy with the glass. I don't know what that's about.
All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us, and we're answering your questions, car and automotive related, and we'll get back to some of the stuff that he wrote for the Daily Drive blog. You can also check him out at consumerguide.com. We have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Tom Appel, our car guy, he joins us once a month, and we're happy to have him on, and we'll take your calls and do more talk with about cars here right after we take a break on 720 WGN. Yeah. We've been waiting for Jim Lang to come out. That's a reference that Esmeralda's not going to get. Jim Lang was the host of The Dating Game.
Oh.
Doesn't that sound like The Dating Game?
It does.
Jim Lang's going to come out.
It's the Tijuana Brass, isn't it?
I believe it is, yes. Oh, no. It's Ray Anthony.
Oh.
Ripping off the Tijuana Brass.
Pretty
if
much.
You ask me, man. I don't know what to say there. Except that Jim Lang is your host this night, this morning. You should Google Jim Lang, Esmeralda. Fascinating gentleman. Hosted many a game show, most notably Dating Game. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Tom Appel is still with us. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. We're talking car questions and answers and all kinds of good stuff. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Here is Janine on WGN. Hi, Janine. Or is it Jeannie?
Good morning.
Is it Jeannie?
Jeannie. Yeah.
Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a 2004 Buick Regal, which is currently under a recall. And I got the letter in the mail saying, yes, it's you got the recall. You need to come in and, you know, we'll let you know about the parts. Do you have any idea currently it's in regards to the recall for someone hits me from behind oil explosion? This is a basic rundown from what I was told. Do you have any idea when those parts, now, is Buick GMC? That's what I don't know. Have you heard anything about the Buick recalls and when parts will become available?
I'm afraid I do not know about that particular recall, and I have not heard about that action. As for when parts will be available, I don't know. And your best bet would be to check with the dealership directly because they should have them on.
Well, I have been.
Okay,
I have been, and I'm in their system to get. I got the letter. The parts have been ordered. I was just wondering if you've heard any recalls, because Buick had just a couple. I mean, nobody's had more recalls this past year than I think than Ford. It's off the top of my head, and I have a Ford Explorer as well, an old one. But I have a Buick now, which I bought from a Ford dealership, and I love my Buick. But I was just kind of curious if there's any other that you've heard anything else going on with the 2004 Buick Regals in general.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything else, but I can tell you this, is that the DOT, the Department of Transportation, has grown weary of manufacturers dragging their feet on recalls, and General Motors rather famously had a huge recall earlier this year. And I suspect that if you have a notice in hand, they'll have the parts fairly soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeannie. You know, here's a question. This might be a dumb question, Tom.
Uh-huh.
She's talking about an 11-year-old car. How... is there a statute of limitations on recalls? Can companies just not send a recall if something goes wrong with a car?
No, it's interesting. The Department of Transportation can sort of make a decision on their own about if they think the public is at risk. And something like this, she's talking about rear accidents that can result in a fire.
Yeah.
I think they can determine that that is important enough that they're still going to do it. And one of the things that's happening now, too, is that the American fleet is surprisingly old. I think the average car on the road is something like 15 years old or something crazy like that. And so there's just a lot of older cars on the road.
Okay.
So manufacturers are increasingly liable for vehicles that you would think would be too old, but they're being sold and they're on their second or third or fourth owners, but they're out there.
And they're still out there. So they still, you know, send out the notices. Wow. That's amazing. 630 area code says, what are your thoughts on the 2016 GMC Canyon, specifically the SLT model?
Yeah, that's the companion to the Colorado, the Chevy Colorado, and those are those mid-sized pickups we talked about earlier on a call. I think it's fantastic. It's a really nice riding truck. We made it a consumer guide Best Buy. The appeal here is the nice interior, the quality ride, and the quiet cabin. It's very car-like.
Okay. All right. 815 says, I just purchased a 2016 Hyundai Sonata, complete 2.14. Wondering about Tom's thoughts on the extended warranty beyond the bumper-to-bumper.
Yeah, I never recommend the extended warranty. My advice is this. No one sells you insurance they think you need. All cars now are relatively reliable. If you're worried, I would just take the money you would spend on that and keep it aside in the bank.
Okay.
I wouldn't buy the warranty.
Yeah, you always say that, Tom. That's kind of a general thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And you wrote a piece here for the blog here called It's the End of the Car as We Know It.
Yeah.
And I Feel Fine. Care to explain?
Yeah, I would. And thanks for asking. I was sort of venting, sort of lamenting. But one of the things that's happening as we talk about autonomous cars is that the world of cars as I knew it as a young man and as an enthusiast has gone away. And one of the things that I've noticed has happened is that in discussions of the Google car, for example, we no longer talk about performance. No one's talking about what this car is, what it rides on, and what it is mechanically. The thing that matters here is that it's autonomous, that it runs around without a driver. Additionally, more and more so, the media covering the car industry is less enthusiast and less automotive and more tech and gadget. You're getting a lot of the tech geeks now and a lot of the electronics media covering this car. And one of the most interesting pieces of news that we have coming up is that Yahoo is reporting that Mark Fields of Ford is going to make an important announcement about a deal that they struck with Google. And they're going to make this not at the Detroit Auto Show, but at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's this fundamental shift. And I think the population of people who care about how a car rides and handles is shrinking, and the population of people who want a car that drives itself and syncs up with their cell phone, their mobile phone, is growing. And that's the shift that I see happening. And that's just fine. I think cars are still fascinating, but I sort of miss skid pad and 0 to 60 numbers and tire sizes and stuff like that.
Right.
But the industry has shifted, and, you know, I'm cool with that.
Okay. All right. And finally, here's Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I had a question for you. You know, my daughter is looking to replace a 2012 Civic. She was in an accident, rear-ended. Everybody's okay, but the car was totaled. The insurance would unfortunately only give her about $10,000. She had, like, 6 payments to go, and the car was perfect. So she's looking around trying to find something that's a good value. In, you know, good mileage. I know there's all kinds of deals out there with 0% this and that. Any thoughts on a good sedan or maybe like a Ford? I have a few in mind, like a Ford Edge or another Civic. Something that gets, because she drives 100 miles a day.
Okay.
Good value, high mileage, either a sedan or something that sits up a little higher, like an Edge. Or does a Nissan Rogue get good mileage?
Oh, it gets okay mileage. It's a mid-sized crossover. I'm sorry, a sort of large compact crossover. It gets pretty good mileage.
Is there anything else that you would recommend for that, Tom?
Yeah, I would. One of my favorite new cars of 2015, it's actually a 2016 model, is the Scion iA. And this is the Scion that's actually built by Mazda for Scion. It's a version of the Mazda 2, which is no longer available in the U.S. This is a fantastic little car. You'll break 30 mpg. It's loaded with safety gear. It's sort of a one-price car. It's about 16.8 with a manual, about 17-something with an automatic. Fun to drive, nice interior, great fuel economy, and just packed with safety features you wouldn't expect on a car that's under $18,000.
Okay, great. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening. And again, sorry if we couldn't get to everybody's question, but Tom will be back again in January. And you can always check out consumerguide.com and cgdailydrive.com as well. And Tom will be joining us again next month. Tom Appel, we thank you. Listen, have a Merry Christmas and a great New Year, and we will see you in January.
That sounds great. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Tom. Have a good one, okay?
Take care.
The great Tom Appel, who joins us to talk automotive stuff every single month right here on WGN, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He'll join us again in January to answer all of your questions. And thank you to Tom.